Now, the people that's a little bit more evolved and the more mental people, they will go to the mental worlds and they will bypass the David chain because they don't really need it. They can dabble in it if they want to, but they will go to the higher realms, and then there's higher realms beyond that. But in the mental realm, you have matter, which is more refined, that is controlled by mind. To give you the difference, to get an apple in the physical realm, you have to go find an apple and pick it and bring it to your table or whatever. In the emotional realm, you have to think, I desire an apple, and then you can actually materialize an apple there. You don't have to run and pick it. You can just desire it. If you're in the mental realm, you can just visualize it with your mind, and bang, you can have the apple. They're created out of mental matter. And then you can add desire to that apple, and you'll have emotional energy in there. Yeah, it'll taste right. The apple will taste better. If it's just a mental apple, there won't be much taste. Yeah, no calories, no matter what there. Just imaginary calories. Now the next four levels up are what we call the formless worlds. Now the formless worlds are kind of interesting in the fact that, how could they even exist if they're formless? They're called formless because we don't have form creations of form the way that we do here. But from the formless world comes the world of ideas. The next step up from the mental is the buddhaic. And in the buddhaic, it's like channeling the higher worlds. It's a channel world. And it's responsible for the intuition and enhances soul contact to a tremendous degree once this world is contacted. So this is a kind of a channeling world. Maybe we ought to start at the top, but starting at the bottom. And then the next step up is the atmic. And in the atmic is where ideas originate. So you have the ideas originate, and then they're channeled through the buddhaic, and then they're captured by the mind, the higher mind. In the mind, you have the higher and lower mind. And the higher and lower mind is different from the brain. On the physical, we have the brain, which is just a giant computer. But the mind is capable, it's more like the computer operator, the programmer. So the mind captures something from the atmic world where the ideas are just floating around. And the ideas are floating around, and there's infinite number or unlimited number of ideas in this world. Ideas for everything. And so like somebody like Edison, he thinks he all of a sudden gets the idea for the light bulb. And he gets the idea for the light bulb because the idea has existed there forever in this atmic world since the creation of the universe. It's just the light bulb has just been floating around in this higher formless world since the universe was created. And so Edison captures a glimpse through using the highest part of his mind. He catches a glimpse of the buddhaic world. And in the buddhaic world, he channels a conduit up to the atmic and captures a flash of the possibility of a light bulb. And that idea is then channeled down through the buddhaic world and is planted like a seed in his higher mind. And that seed begins to grow, and then it goes down into his lower mind and registered by the brain eventually. And then Edison, all of a sudden, he is completely 100% convinced he can create this. He's convinced. He knows beyond any doubt. Why does he know it? Because he channeled up into this world, the atmic world, or the formless world where the ideas are. And once a person captures one of these ideas in this formless world, then he knows that it can be done. And that's why he was so persistent. And that's why one time a reporter came to him and he says, Edison, according to what you've written, You have done 10,000 experiments to create this fabled light bulb, and every one of them have failed. He says, aren't you willing to admit failure on this? Finally, after all this time, 10,000 failures, isn't that enough? And Edison said, you're wrong. I have not had 10,000 failures. 10,000 times I have successfully identified what does not work. And what this means is I only have a few left because I know that I'm going to create this. And why did he know? Why did he know so much that he went through 10,000 what everybody else saw as failures, but he saw as success? Why was he so persistent? Why did he continue? Because he caught a glimpse of that world. And when somebody catches a glimpse of that world, then he knows for sure that it's real. Because when the higher worlds are contacted, the contactee knows that he has contacted something real. He knows it's real. Have you ever had that experience? James, I'll bet you have. Have you ever had a flash that you just knew was real?
Yes.
Tell us about it. Well, that was. You don't have to tell us about it. I caught you on the spot. But
it was surprising everybody. Okay. Yes, I have that one. It was almost a, what I would consider a revelation type of a knowingness, as opposed to just, you know, well, that was interesting, but it was all encompassing.
Okay. The point I want to establish was, I know that a number of people can really identify with this because they have made contact. How about you, Larry? Have you ever had that feeling? You've contacted an idea, you just know that it would work?
I think I felt something I would call intuition or just an idea that I believe something was true.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Garrett. This is an historical one that's quite famous, the chemical of the periodic table of elements by Mendeleev.
He got that in a dream.
Who was it?
The periodic table of elements. He got that in a dream and then worked it out. It's like decades before all the elements were found, but they already knew like how many electrons, protons. They were just waiting to find them. But he laid the whole table out like in 1860 or something, and he got it in a dream.
So. Yeah, I studied science quite a bit, but this Garrett still comes up with scientific data and details that I have never heard before. It's pretty interesting.
Carl Sagan had a thing on that cosmos thing about the Hindu length of a God day, and a God day was like 8 billion years, and they figured out there were at least two. You said it was a trillion, but then they have so many endless cycles. That was actually on a cosmos thing 25 years
like
ago.
Like a day of Carl Brahm. Sagan.
Yeah, the day of Brahm.
That
yeah,
was what he
referred
to.
Example, that might be Mozart. Because if you can look at the handwritten manuscripts of a lot, like, say, a Beethoven and some of these other, you know, they're scratching things out, changing things, working them over. And Mozart's scripts, if you look at them, are just, he's just notating around perfect. He never goes back. He never, you know, changes anything. And somebody asked him, and he said, I just write them down there in my head. I just write them down. I don't have to, do anything.
I'm no Mozart, but there's a couple times I've dreamed about a melody, and I got up and made a recording so I'd have it. But it is interesting that if you get a melody in your head that you've never heard before, then where does that come from? It's been created somewhere. Same thing when Paul McCartney was the one that wrote the melody for Yesterday. And he come out of the bathroom one day humming the melody of Yesterday, and he says, that seems so familiar. Surely somebody's written this before. And he goes over to John, and he says, John, I want you to listen to this. And he hums the melody to Yesterday. He says, have you heard this before? John says, no, I've never heard that before. That's a good one. He says, go with it. And Paul says, are you sure? It just seems so familiar. It just was in my head. I didn't even have to work for it. And John says, no, that's good. He says, let's do it. That's a good one, he says. So Paul finished it off and become one of the most recorded songs in history. But when he got it, it just seemed so familiar with him. He couldn't believe that it was original because he didn't have to work for it. He just come out of the bathroom one day and it was just floating in his head, you know. That's like winning the lottery, isn't it? Have just a song that makes you millions of dollars just given to you as a gift. You know, that would be nice.
Einstein said that how he was able to again, his information was he rode the waves of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so he would just meditate and he would go to that area where the knowledge, like what you're talking about, where he would come back and have that idea.
Yeah, Einstein tapped into the atomic world, I'm sure, where the ideas were, because it's amazing some of the stuff he came up with. But, yeah, Ren?
I saw a movie starring Nick Nolte. I played the father of the son that had a kind of a bizarre disease.
Yeah.
And the medical profession really didn't know how to take care of his problem. And a number of kids had this disease. And the name of the movie is something oil.
Lorenzo's Oil.
Lorenzo's Oil.
Ah, yeah.
And this kind of follows along with what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think I just saw part of it, but weren't they convinced there was a cure or something?
Well, it was like this dream thing you're talking about. He finally, worked on this chemically for the longest time and finally came together after laboring, something like how Edison was working on a light bulb, and it just finally came together.
It's interesting with Isaac Newton. He would get ideas, and it's amazing his intelligence when you read about him. But he'd get ideas, and he could he definitely tapped into the atomic world and brought it down through the Buddhaic into his mind. And almost everything he came up with, he was able to materialize, except he believed you could turn the lower elements into gold. And he actually spent more time with that than he did his regular science. And that hasn't been revealed till recently when they had an auction where they auctioned off a big box of his letters or something. They found a bunch of his writings that they had never knew existed before. He wrote a tremendous amount. He did most of his thinking, probably about two-thirds of his thinking, on the book of Revelations and Daniel from the Bible, and tried to predict when the second coming would be.
And
yeah, right. He was almost originator of that. And also on how to turn lead into gold. He was convinced. Now, he was convinced it could be done, and actually it has been done to a small degree. But DK tells us that eventually we will learn how to turn the basic elements into gold, and gold will become so plentiful that it will lose its value, is one of his predictions. So if DK is right, Newton really did see that this was possible, but he was just ahead of his time and wasn't quite able to put together the technology to do it. But someday that technology will be there.
So could he have been like Edison and had a glimpse of this idea and just he didn't have his 12,000 failures, so to speak. He didn't quite get there yet.
Yeah. He didn't have the CERN.
Some of it's like the technology and infrastructure, wouldn't it, exist in the day to make some things happen. I mean, you can knock a proton out of lead and turn it into gold. I mean, they've done it in labs. It's just expensive, but
it's extremely expensive.
I mean, so.
But there's probably a way to do it that we don't know about.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, there's legends about people that have done it, that have legends about different people in history that had mysterious amounts of gold, and no one knows where they got that gold from. I can't remember the names of all these, but there's in the Rosicrucian writings, there's writings about half a dozen different people throughout history that they've written about that just had mysterious amounts of gold, and they believed that they were true alchemists, so they had the key to transmuting the baser elements into gold centuries ago. And Newton studied all these different writings, and he was 100% convinced it was possible. But he was never able to achieve it, and he was quite disappointed. But the interesting, fascinating thing about him is that he spent about two-thirds of his time doing stuff that he would have probably lost his life for if it had been exposed, you know, because it was against the will of the government for him to experiment with alchemy or heretical religious views, which he had. And if they would have discovered his religious writings, he would probably have been executed at that time. So he had to keep them all secret. And that's why we haven't learned about Newton's side life until recently.